puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
I wonder if there's a Christmas version of that song, but that's for another time. Welcome, Gordon Goldsborough.
Thank you.
This is Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon is here. Gordon, remind us of the clue from last time.
I said we would examine a boarded up 110-year-old Winnipeg building named Victoria Court that lately has been courting disaster.
All right, we'll get to the disaster in a second. First of all, what is Victoria Court?
Well, it's a three-story brick and stone apartment block, and it's located just a little east of the intersection between William Avenue and Isabel Street here in Winnipeg. It was built in 1910, so of course it's just on the cusp of its 110th birthday, and it was occupied until at least 2014. I haven't been able to determine exactly when it was vacated, but it's all boarded up now. If you drive by, it's got windows all covered in boards. If you go around back in the back lane, you can actually see some of the windows have been broken, and it looks like there's been a fire inside because there's sort of soot stains on the top of the window. It's been in the news quite a lot lately. In fact, just recently, a convenience store that's within eyesight of Victoria Court was closed because of rampant shoplifting. And then over the last 6 months or so, there's been a couple of stories. So, for example, back in July, CBC News described this vacant building as a local, quote, drug den. And a more recent newspaper story referred to needles that had been found littering around its grounds. You know, and it's kind of sad to see this nice-looking building in such a sorrowful state of disrepair and abuse. But, you know, I want to focus on the historical story that Victoria Court tells.
Okay, so what is that story?
To my mind, it tells the story of how multi-family residences have flourished in Winnipeg. So when the first structures were built in Winnipeg, when the city was first being established, residential buildings were mostly commercial structures like hotels. And of course, you would use those only if you were coming through town for a short duration. If you were here for a longer period of time, well, one of the things you might do is you might live with another family. So boarding houses were quite popular. And, you know, maybe you were a single person, maybe you were a small family, and you would live with another family. They would give you a bed and give you meals. And that was typically the whole concept of how multi-family residences would begin, with the boarding house. The concept of the modern apartment block simply did not exist. And it wouldn't exist for several more decades.
When were the first apartment blocks built?
Kind of depends on how you define an apartment block. So in a sense, the very first apartment blocks were horizontal rather than vertical, and they began to be built in the 1880s and 1890s. They were called terraces. And at one time, terraces were all over the place in Manitoba. You know, the idea was you'd basically build a house, and then you'd build another house right up against it, and then you'd build another one after that. You might have, well, anywhere from two up to maybe a dozen of these buildings side by side. And there are a few of these terraces left in Manitoba, if you're interested in them. There's at least three that I'm aware of. So in Brandon, you have the Lorne Terrace. It was built in 1892 on Lorne Avenue. In Verdun, there's a wonderful old terrace there called the Queen Terrace. It was built in 1890 on Queen Street. And then in here in Winnipeg, there's the Edmonton Duplex from 1901. And of course, a duplex meaning two side by side, one of the rare examples of an early duplex.
It's so funny how terraced housing in Canada or Winnipeg is a novelty, because the UK is just filled with lines upon lines. I mean, you watch the beginning of Coronation Street and that kind of gives you an idea.
Well, or New York City or any big city, typically terraces are common, but not so common here, and especially not today. A lot of them have been torn down.
The other thing is, when we think of apartment blocks, we always kind of immediately associate the vertical building of it, but you're saying initially it was horizontal. So when was the first kind of modern vertical apartment block built?
It began in the early 20th century. Essentially, Winnipeg's population began to explode. Well, let's give you an idea. So from 1901 to 1911, that's a 10-year period, the city's population tripled. I mean, that's just mind-boggling. Think of that today. I mean, could you imagine Winnipeg's population tripling in just 10 years? I mean, it's just unthinkable. But that what it illustrates is how rapidly the prairies were filling up with people. And Winnipeg, as the major city of the prairies, was, of course, the natural place people would congregate. So the challenge then was to build enough places for people to live with all these people flooding into the city. You know, they needed places for them to live. And a lot of them were single people. They were might be small families, and they didn't want necessarily the financial burden of a home. They might not want the maintenance burden. So the idea of a smaller place, especially one where you could cram a whole lot of these small places together in a small space, became really popular. So the builders in Winnipeg really responded. And in fact, during that 10-year period, from 1901 to 1911, it said that Winnipeg built more apartment blocks than any other city in Canada. And what that means is that today we have a real legacy of these old apartment blocks from this early decade of the 20th century because of the fact that our city was just growing so darn fast. Well, I did a quick check. I looked in the 1901 census and I went through to see how many apartment blocks I could count in 1901. And I couldn't be sure, but it was around about maybe 15 or 20 altogether. By 1911, 10 years later, there were over 400. You know, it just mind-blowing how many apartment blocks were being built in this period.
Okay, so was Victoria Court one of the blocks that was built during this period?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. So it was built in 1910, just as the city was really growing. And I think it was intended to cater to Winnipeg's burgeoning population. You know, so I wanted to know more about its history. You know, who built it, why, and so on. So I went to the City of Winnipeg Archives. And I have to say, that's a wonderful facility. They've got just great information. And one of the things they have are municipal building permits. You know, just as today, if you wanted to build a building back then, you had to get a permit from the city. It's a single sheet of paper, but on each side of that paper, there is a wealth of information. So we did a little searching and with a little bit of luck, we found the building permit for Victoria Court, and it provided all kinds of interesting details.
What did you find out?
Well, one of the details I found out was that the architect was a fellow named Paul Clemens. Now, that name probably won't mean very much to anyone except maybe keen architectural historians, but Mr. Clemens was born in Iceland in 1870. He emigrated to Chicago at the age of 14 with his family, and he trained as an architect there in Chicago. He came to Winnipeg in 1898, just as the city was starting to explode. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me that what attracted him to Winnipeg was that exact fact, that the city was growing rapidly. They needed people like architects. And so he saw an opportunity to, you know, to work in his chosen field. Now, the interesting thing is that he worked with other Icelanders in the construction projects that he undertook, you know, contractors, skilled craftsmen, laborers. And because they're all Icelandic, apparently they spoke on the job site in Icelandic. Now, that was partly because perhaps a lot of them were new immigrants. They didn't know English very well, and they, of course, knew Icelandic. But I think it's also neat that it illustrates sort of the multicultural history of Winnipeg, that you could get a construction site where everybody was talking in a different language because they were all from somewhere else in the world. In 1905, Mr. Clemens began to specialize in building apartment blocks because there was such a demand for them. And we don't know exactly how many he built over the course of his architectural career here, but it was a lot of them. And he lived here for quite a number of years. He actually married a local woman. They had kids before they moved back to Chicago in 1921. And then he continued to practice as an architect for the remainder of his life in Chicago. So interesting sort of story about Icelandic architects and the building of buildings by Icelanders.
Was there any other information that you could kind of glean from this building permit?
Oh, yeah. So, for example, it told me that it was built by day labor. Now, what that means basically is that instead of having a construction company that brings its all of its own workers, they would basically go to one of the employment bureaus and say, okay, we need a couple of carpenters today. Tomorrow we'll need a plumber. Maybe the day after that we'll need a mason. And you'd just day by day hire guys as you needed them. And that was a fairly common way to build things back in those days. You would probably wouldn't do that much today. It told me the materials they used. So it said it was a foundation of stone. That was a fairly common building material, for particularly for foundations at that time. And then the walls of the building were made out of brick, either red or amber brick, 13 inches thick. So what that tells me is that it's a solid brick wall as opposed to what's called a brick veneer, where there's just an outside layer of brick. And the building altogether had 21 apartments. And so if you do a calculation based on its size, they actually gave the dimensions of the building. The building's about 15,000 square feet. What that means is that each of the apartments was around 700 square feet. So, you know, the average sort of size perhaps for an apartment for, you know, a small family. So in the total, when you look at the whole tally, the construction of Victoria Court used 200,000 bricks, 5,000 square yards of plaster for its lath and plaster walls and ceilings, and 80 cubic yards of concrete for its footings, its basement wall. I mean, just amazing detail.
What do we know about the first residents of the block?
Well, they would have moved in late 1910, and the federal census was done in early 1911. So, therefore, you can look in the census, and there are the original occupants of Victoria Court. So I looked in the census, and it turns out, again, as I kind of expected, a very diverse cross-section of the city. So, for example, there was the foreman of a saddle factory, a jeweler, a traveling salesman, a printer, a fireman, a railway conductor, a restaurant manager, a policeman, an undertaker. I mean, just a broad cross-section of people. I found even Edgar Prain. He was an architect and became quite a prominent one later in his life. And in fact, he designed the elementary school that I went to as a child. He lived in there for a while, but I was able to find 11 occupants of the building in the 1911 census. All but three of them were from outside of Canada. What it illustrates is just, say, how multicultural the occupants were. And, you know, it was exactly the kind of people that I would expect to see living in an apartment block.
Fast forward to 2019. What's going to happen to Victoria Court now?
Well, it's presently for sale. And the quote I saw was that it's, quote, an exceptional investment opportunity. You know, and I truly hope that it will be bought by some creative entrepreneur who sees it as a diamond in the rough. We tend to judge vacant buildings by their present rather sorrowful state without considering that they have at one time been vibrant, interesting places. You know, apartment blocks that may now harbor drug dealers were once the warm and comfortable homes for generations of good and kind people. You know, so some may look at Victoria Court and focus on the negatives, such as the needles laying on the ground. You know, I prefer to focus on the positives of how a building came to be, what it represented over its 100 years in the lives of many Winnipeggers, and what I think it can be again someday. So I don't see it as a lost cause, but an as yet unexploited opportunity.
See, that's what I love about you and this segment, bringing these historical buildings back to life. Thank you for doing that again today.
Absolutely.
Gordon, what's the clue for next week?
Next week, I'm going to look at a vacant building in Larivere that I think our listeners will find generally interesting.
You know, there's something in those words, Gordon. Thank you so much.
We'll see you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.